Welcome everybody to the X1 Bros. I think we timed that really well.
We're perfect, remote, David.
Yeah, we're remote. So this is when you think we have tech issues when we're in person. No, when we're remote, we way have tech issues. So
yeah, Jordan, yeah, we should just ask Jordan what his thoughts are on Windows and Windows updates.
Yeah, no, I think Windows is a terrible operating system. And I think whenever they sit in the boardroom thinking about what to do, I don't think they have the smart people talk. So I'm just going to say it out loud. So
yeah, Jordan had all.
Let me give you an example here. Let me
go ahead.
This is a meeting. This is a board meeting, probably, right? They go, hey, Steve, what should we do for the update this week? Oh, what do you mean? We just pushed out an update yesterday. Oh, you can never have enough updates for Windows. Oh, okay. Let's do another one. What should we do? Why don't we make it so when you have a full audio setup on your computer and everything's dialed in and saved in the settings, why don't we make it so if you have to plug in a web camera, it just screws everything right off? Oh, Steve, that's great. Yeah, let's push that out Thursday. And then you know what? Why don't we do one on Friday just before we go home for the weekend? That'd be great.
Yeah. That's...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's wonderful. Fantastic.
You look like you've been in a fight with your computer for sure.
Yeah. Well, now, thanks to Steve and Fred in the old boardroom there at Windows, instead of playing Prince of Persia after the show, I got to figure out how to fix my computer. And then guess what? I'm probably going to have to do it again on Monday because they'll have another update for me.
This is true. This
Windows, if you're listening, come on.
This is true. All right, let's jump right into the news here. We've got the Developer Direct. This is the big news of the day, I think.
Can I just say I'm excited for this show because Jordan's going to be pissed, and Jordan, I love it.
Jordan's going to be very critical of Microsoft.
Angry Jordan is best Jordan.
It really is. It really is.
Developer Direct. It got announced last week. We talked about it a little bit. All that we knew last week is that in the upcoming Developer Direct, it was rumored that we were going to get a drop, but we now have some details, a shadow drop, like Hi-Fi Rush, what we got last year. We now have details though, guys. And I think even if they don't have a shadow drop, this sets the tone for 2024 in a way that I've not seen Microsoft or Xbox rather set the tone in a while. I mean, this is next level stuff. If we can real quick, let's take a look. Here's the games that are being highlighted before we talk about it. Indiana Jones, and we're getting at least 10 minutes of gameplay. Mm-hmm. Avowed, and we're getting gameplay of Avowed. Aura History Untold, same thing. So remember, Aura History Untold is Microsoft's Civilization killer. They've not said that. That's me saying that. And then last but not least, we're getting Senua Saga Hellblade 2. After the show, we are getting ESO. You know, see the latest and greatest that's coming out with ESO.
Yeah, they're like yearly update.
Yeah, but just having those four games in my mind is, I mean, Indiana Jones gameplay. Yeah,
we've been waiting for that for forever.
Yeah, that's huge. So out of those, Spicy, which of those is your top? Like, what are you tuning in for?
Go back to the list on your screen.
Yeah, let me I can scroll down here and
feel it again.
There it is.
I want to feel my answers. Honestly, okay, top one and top two, they're both tied for first. Indiana Jones and Avowed for me. Mm. I mean, I like Indiana Jones pre-2005.
Yeah,
is that when Indy got
before Alien Indy.
Yeah, before he survived the atomic bomb
crystal alien head
in a refrigerator or whatever. It's a shame.
I think Shia LaBeouf as young Padawan.
Yeah, he would have been good.
Was good.
I liked him.
And you could have done something with that.
Yeah, that was closer to Holes too. Like, you know,
dude, Holes is so good.
Yeah, it really is a great show.
Holes is so good.
No, I'm a big, I love Indiana Jones. Yeah. And I'm really, really excited to play this. We don't know much about this game. At least I don't, I haven't, I tend to not look at what the internet says about a bunch of things. This is one of them. Do we have anything other than that one teaser, or it was just like showing the panning through the desk
and stuff? That's
showing
it.
All the stuff. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all we got.
We don't know much about it, but I am really, really excited about it. And then of course Avowed, you know, what needs to be said about that? We've been waiting for that one for forever. I love the setting of that. I love the games that have that setting. I think that fantasy is the best setting for adventure RPG stuff and stuff like that. So I'm really, really excited. I want to get my magic on. Yeah. Yeah.
Jordan, how about you? Anything? What's the one? So spicy. Sorry. If I could summarize, is indie your number one look there then?
Yeah, because here's the deal. It is right now, because we haven't seen anything. I've seen stuff from Avowed and I'm really excited about it. But if these are the Indiana Jones, these are the guys that did Wolfenstein. If they can make a game as good as that game, you know, the storytelling in that game is phenomenal. If they can make an Indiana Jones like that, sign me up. I want that to be good. Mm. So I think that's what it is. It's just it's behind the curtain right now, and I don't know what's behind it. So I'm really, really excited to see that. That's why. So yeah. Indiana Jones number one, Avowed number two, and then probably Hellblade. Mm. Yeah, Hellblade is next, and then Ara. So yeah,
Jordan, how about you? Give me your. If you could tune into for only one game here, which one you tune in for?
Well, probably the Avowed gameplay, just because we know what it is, and it's like I think Hellblade is probably going to be good, and you know, and I'm always excited for new Civilization games, but Avowed is basically. It's like another Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a spiritual successor to the Elder Scrolls. Right. And we know that. So we know what it's going to be. I'm just excited to see the gameplay and the world they've crafted. I'm super excited for Indiana Jones, but to be honest, I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know it's going to be action adventure, but is it going to be first person like Wolfenstein? Is it going to be third person?
Well, it's machine games, and they've done the last couple of Wolfensteins and they've been fantastic. So seeing what they can do with Indiana Jones.
I doubt it's going to be first person. I think it'll be like a third person. I think it's going to lean towards like an Uncharted / Tomb Raider, because that's basically where Indiana Jones fits. I mean, Tomb Raider and Uncharted are basically Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Nathan Drake is Indiana Jones's bitch.
Well, Nathan Drake was heavily inspired by Indy. You know?
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, look at this. So the rumor was that we may get a shadow drop of some sort, like we did with Hi-Fi Rush. But I think this to me is super aggressive and sets the tone. And they went out of their way to say that Activision Blizzard, in fact, let me go to it here, that you'll hear more right here. Please note that while this show won't have updates on games from Activision Blizzard, you can look forward to news from those teams later this year, which kind of boggles the mind, because it just shows how big of a library they have now that we are getting. Look at, we're getting Indiana Jones gameplay that we've never seen before. It's a new IP to Xbox. We're getting Avowed, a new IP to Xbox, and we're going to get gameplay that we've never seen before. We're getting Ara History Untold, a Civilization-esque game, new IP, never seen before. And then we have seen Senua's, Hellblade 2. And that's just, I mean, there's hype around that already. This is super strong for me. Start off the year like this, wow.
Yeah. Here's the deal with the Activision Blizzard. They could do their November BlizzCon, and that still falls under that umbrella. Well, later this year, we'll hear stuff. Right? So
that's true.
You know, but I don't know if I don't know. I'm not necessarily. I mean, that's cool, but. We just had BlizzCon. They had all their announcements. So, yeah, it's obvious.
Well, I think when they say later this year, I think they're probably talking about BlizzCon. Like, that's where Blizzard is.
Yeah.
Right. So as for Blizzard's games, I don't think we'll hear anything until BlizzCon.
Yeah.
As for Call of Duty, I'm not sure anybody really wants to hear anything for a little while.
Real quick, let's take some comments from chat here. Dark Knight says Developer Direct is going to be fire, man. 2024 is going to be an exciting year, guys. Strap in and hold on. I completely agree, Dark Knight. Thank you. Also, on Jordan's anger, Soulfinder says Jordan's YouTube channel, Complaints with Jordan. All you can handle complaints against Bungie, 343 Industries.
We got to do it.
Halo 5 totally and now Windows.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be awesome. Yeah. Hot takes.
You know, I've been thinking about Bungie a lot lately.
What have you been thinking about?
Well, the first thing I was thinking about is how in the world were they nominated for best community support and like Halo wasn't? Like Halo Infinite. Like, hey, I have my gripes with Halo Infinite, but you got to admit they've really done well bringing that game up to par.
It's almost
right?
Like
why were they even
better?
On the list?
It's almost you better know what I mean? to screw up initially, right?
Well, the ask for forgiveness then permission type situation.
No,
right?
it's like you can't tell me, the bar was set low, and then they like slowly improving it, and now you're like,
well, I
whereas
mean, I
the
think,
bar was
I
high think... for Destiny, especially with like the new bad guy that they brought in with this whole new, you know, last expansion and stuff, the Light Within or whatever, and or Light Beyond, and then it's just a dud and nobody likes it. I think that's worst place to be, actually.
I wonder if they're going to start teaching like marketing classes on, okay, your first release needs to suck balls. Yes, just straight up, just suck. And then it's a bold, what do we call that? The No Man's Sky strategy. That's what we'll call it. The NMS strategy. And then you come through and make something great. That's the NMS strategy. Go for it, kids.
Yeah. something. Jordan.
Yeah.
You continue with your Bungie. What else were you thinking?
Oh, you know, yeah. Well, because so I decided to just jump back into Destiny this week. So I downloaded it on my computer.
You were playing Destiny as well this week?
Well, no, I just jumped in it because I was like, yeah, you know.
I love your life, Jordan.
Not very many people like that game. Let's see what's going on there.
The reason I say that, David, is because I've been playing games with him as much as I could this week too, and it wasn't Destiny. So he's fitting that in there somewhere.
Well, I just have to say, like playing Destiny, because I downloaded it on my computer. Destiny is so well optimized for the computer; like it runs so good. Like it, like that. They're just it, and that's what's so interesting about Bungie. Like, I think they're incredible developers at like the game feels amazing. Like no one disputes that. But they just can't say the right thing or monetize the correct way, you know?
Yeah.
I also have a theory about Bungie.
Do you think though oh, that's hold on.
Well, David's coming back.
I realize now why I don't use this.
My theory about Bungie is so when Destiny came out, Activision owned Bungie or had a deal with Bungie, however it works, right? Destiny was owned by Activision at that point. They were the publisher, right?
Okay.
A lot of people got frustrated with Destiny 1. Gameplay is solid. Bungie knows how to develop a game. Gameplay was solid even in Destiny 1. Story wasn't very good. You had to go off-site to read Grimoire cards where all the lore was. You know, it sucked, right? Acted that you do your little DLC stuff, right? Then Bungie goes by themselves. They have the trials, the first initial Destiny 2, right? I don't know if I think did Activision still own them during Destiny 2? Anyway, Destiny 2, pretty decent launch, fun game. I mean, some problems started to arise, but then they had like the DLC stuff that was terrible, like the Trials of Osiris and all that. Anyway, here's my thing. I don't think it's the publishers, because this continuously happens to Bungie no matter where they're at. You know what I mean? So I think
like they just run out of steam.
Because like their monetization is pretty up. Like, I don't know what it's like right now because I haven't played the game in forever. But a while back, it was terrible. Like, you have to buy dungeon keys. I still to this day think that's terrible. People can count it as DLC, but it's terrible. Like, imagine if World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy Online, I mean, I guess essentially they do via expansions, but that's not the way Destiny does it. Destiny has like what I'm saying is, imagine if World of Warcraft charged you for new dungeons, right? Mm. You could say technically they do via expansions, but Destiny gives you an expansion and then they charge you separately for like additional dungeons and stuff like that. Like, it's just, I think it's a really bad model. And I know, like, it's just, it's funny because I was going, like, everybody hated Activision for what they did to Destiny. And then everybody, you know, it's just, given Destiny's history, I don't know how much of it was the publishers and how much of it is just Bungie. I feel like, and if you go way back, like, this happened with Halo 2. Like, remember, like, Microsoft had to come in and basically say, hey, no, you got to get it out. Like, we're tired of this.
Get it
like
out.
Peter Moore got a tattoo and he says, if you don't get it out by this date, like, it's like, you, yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm not kidding, it's coming, you know.
Hey,
and they had to like cut all of Halo 3 out anyway. But I just I don't know.
Have any of you seen, speaking of Halo, the Halo season 2 trailer for Paramount?
No, I could care less. They've
okay, it might suck you back in, Jordan. It might.
Well, hey, as long as if intimacy is the downfall of Reach, then count me in. That's that old season one.
Yeah, it's basically, it's Fall of Reach, the trailer. Like,
well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but the first one was Halo. I mean,
no. Yeah, that's true.
How do you screw that up?
That's true, because they kind of made you, gave you goosebumps watching the first trailers, and then you go and watch the show, and it's like Days of Our Lives in space.
Yeah, terrible camera work, terrible dialogue, bad acting. And that's on top of.
Should I see? I don't know if this, guys, everybody, if you're listening, we're recording this. Oh, I think I already said that, but let's recording. See. Can I even share this? Let me see if it
works.
Video on this platform didn't work before, remember?
Are we going to get shut down? Or the YouTube algorithm's going to go like, you can't watch a trailer?
Well, let's see. Present screen, Halo, bam. All right, let's see if, tell me if this works or not.
I can hear it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You might want to mute it though, so we don't get any.
That will be good. For cuckum.
What? Okay. People have reached. Are we really gonna sit here and watch this?
Yeah.
I.
Yeah, everybody. We're watching the Halo season 2 trailer.
Wow. Well.
Dude,
it is a podcast, David. People cannot see what we.
Yeah,
are
that's
looking.
Okay. It's okay. Here, I'll turn off the sound. We just let it play. It looks like,
press T on your computer.
It looks pretty good.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's yes. Okay, so now, so we're watching. I do like that stuff. But yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though, David. What they do,
they suck you in, and then
the trailer
screw
says,
you over.
"Check it out. This is Halo."
Yeah.
And then you watch the show and it has nothing to, it's like,
it's the hot girl at the club and you're like, yeah,
it's not the Halo story.
Yeah. It's the hot girl at the club and you're like, whoa, look at her, only to get her home and find out she has a penis.
Yeah.
That's what Halo is.
Like, yeah.
You're not what you,
oh man,
you're not what you appeared to be.
David went there. All right.
Well, that's what the first TV show did to me.
Yeah, that's
that was kind of good.
But like, look at this. Okay. Look at this part. Like, when it's Master Chief, it's awesome.
As long as he has his helmet on.
Yeah. Oh, there's Anakin.
Well, the thing is like, I don't even care that he takes his helmet off, because like, you could argue like, oh well, in the books they take their helmets off all the time because they're like at bases or in classes or blah blah blah, whatever, right? It's just, it's how they present it. Like, presentation is half of your story.
I care.
Okay.
that's why I don't think that they should touch these IPs.
Well, you have to be a fan. If you're going to touch them, I want you to be the biggest fan of this that there is possible. It's why Lord of the Rings was so good, because Peter Jackson loves Lord of the Rings.
Well, and he was respectful to the source material. Yeah. Yeah. But you don't have that anymore.
You know what he did is he read the book and he said, okay, let's take this over to a movie. And he did it well. Like, he put the book into a movie. Yes, he left stuff out, but he left stuff out that didn't need to be in there. Like, of course, you have to make changes from like a book or a game or whatever to a show, but you can still. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I don't.
No,
I don't want to throw that. I don't want to, you know.
There are too many writers that are using past IPs, and they don't respect the source material, and a lot of them have agendas.
And so it
bleeds into the product, and you immediately alienate lots of people when you don't respect the source material. The IP speaks for itself. IP.
This is straight from the game, that scene right there, right? And like, awesome is it?
Well, here's the thing, right? The whole like, oh, we want to appeal to a broader audience. That's what Halo 2 did. Did you not like, there was news stories about it. Like, it literally did that.
Well, maybe that's why they're going to stick to the story.
So I think about these things like during personal reflective time that I have, and I'm going to say this out loud and people can get mad at me. I could have wrote a better story for season 100%, hands down.
Well, I think anybody that is a fan of the show, even with a crayon and just draw your scenes.
Yeah, I could have wrote a better story.
Master Chief takes down.
I already have the first like 2 minutes of the story written. It's that good.
Give it to me. Give me.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, ready? Ready? Oh, you guys ready for it?
You really going to refill it?
No, this is going to blow your mind, right? Ready? Okay. Episode one, right?
There we go.
All right, you start out.
Wait, this is a Halo reboot, directed.
Yeah, Halo season one, written by Jordan. Check this out.
I'm watching it.
You're watching it, season one. Okay. So we start out like a picture of the stars, you know, almost like Star Wars, right? But without the text rolling up, and then that's when you start with your, you know, like produced by Paramount, Microsoft, but you know all your credits, right?
Sure.
And then
they're paying the bills.
We gotta give them credit, right? Yeah, we even put it in a nice font. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay, like a Helvetica or something?
No, check this out. Check this out. Ready? Mind-blowing here, right? The camera starts to pan down slowly, right?
Okay, and then you see Star Destroyer go across?
Yeah, you see this big ship, like a big frigate.
I think it is Star Wars.
Wait for it. You see this big frigate just moving, right? Like its engines are on. Maybe it has like a couple, maybe long swords, like escorting it, right? Mm-hmm. The camera slowly zooms in to this big frigate, right? And it zooms past the name of the frigate. Let's say it's called the Pillar of Autumn, right?
Oh. Yeah. Okay, I just got an erection, Jordan.
And then it zooms. It goes all the way up to like the bridge or the cockpit, whatever you want to call it, and kind of zooms through the window. And then all of a sudden you see these sailors sailors. It's the Navy, right? So sailors, right? You know, so
hold on. Okay, continue.
Okay. They're kind of, you feel like there's some urgency, but they're like moving with a little bit of urgency, but things are calm. Like they're in a critical situation, but they're professionals. They know what they're doing. They're sailors. You know what I mean? They're in the UNSC, right? All right. And they're on the computer work doing stuff, maybe a few alarms going off here and there, but nothing crazy yet. Right. And then all of a sudden you see this guy walk up. He's a little bit more dressed up, a little spruced, right? Maybe you see his name tag. Maybe it says Keys on it. Maybe we'll name him Keys, right?
Just throwing names right out of the.
Yeah. Okay. And then all of a sudden, check this out. All of a sudden he looks out the window, like the display screen. Right. And he says, Cortana, have we lost him? Right. Wait for it. Cortana comes up. Right. A computer, like an AI. Right.
Okay.
You're saying, hold on, pause. You're saying right a lot.
No, he's getting into it.
I'm sorry.
You know what? Reset. It's weird. I can totally picture this on like X1, the original Xbox graphics. Actually, it's kind of weird. Yeah.
This is IMAX too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. We can go. We can do the IMAX cameras. You know, whatever you want. We can really make it look nice.
Okay.
And then you're thinking as a new viewer to this, you're thinking, have we lost them? What's going on? And then Cortana comes up and she says, Covenant ships have always been faster. You know, and then maybe we can write some different scenes going from there, and you know, I don't know. I think that'd be a good intro.
Yeah,
but that's just my idea.
I don't know what everybody else thinks.
I don't
know. Yeah, I could. You know what's so funny? I think I've pictured that like 20 times when I feel like I've played that over and over.
It's almost like a very good story has already been written.
It's almost like it's already been tested.
Yeah. So but anyway, that's just my idea. But who knows? I mean, sleeping, losing your virginity to an alien spy. I mean, that's cool too, right? I mean, everybody's got their own style.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave, he makes a good point. The story's already written.
Yeah,
it's already there. It already has fans that enjoy the story.
There's also a couple books already to go off of in the whole shot.
And you know what you can do just to keep things interesting? You could maybe, while telling that story of maybe Halo Combat Evolved, you can do flashbacks in the episode. Like, I think I've solved the problem of John or of Master Chief taking off his helmet, because you could basically tell the story of the first game episodically, right? And then during that, you can do flashbacks to him as a kid growing up, training on Reach, and basically explaining to the audience what Spartans are and why they were created.
Yeah,
it's almost like you're combining the stories that are already there and good and have worked.
Do you remember the trailer where he's laying down in the grass staring at the sky?
Oh yeah, the Halo 3 bubble shield trailer.
Yeah, it's that one. That was so really good. Yeah. I mean, you could just do that. Have Master Chief wearing like this cloak that's all dusty and, you know. Well, yeah, you're right, Jordan. It's already written. It's already there. Why do you have
Again, during my personal reflection time, I've been thinking, why didn't for season one they just tell the story of the game? Like Halo 1, and in order to explain the characters and why they're in the position they're in, do flashbacks to them training as kids on Reach as Blue Team.
Yeah,
you know, I think that would be good for a show. But again,
yeah, I mean, well, maybe they get it together here.
Yeah, no, maybe they do. Hey, no, I mean,
impossible, absolutely impossible, with the track record of all these IPs coming to film and to seasons and all.
Last of Us was good.
I haven't seen that. It really was good.
You know why Last of Us was good?
Because Joel was the man.
Crazy idea. Really crazy idea.
They just followed the game.
They literally just followed the game.
Yeah.
Whoa. Chandler says, "Let him cook." I think he's talking to Jordan about.
Yeah,
Jordan.
Sorry. I do say right a lot. I'm sorry.
Well, it's when Danny says Jordan is George R. R. Martin over here.
Jordan R. Martin.
Yeah. I mean,
We do have a super chat. AOG War Dog says, "What's going on, bros? Been a minute. Happy holidays. 2 years on Patreon plus 38 months membership here. Wild ride." Looking to another 5 years. AOG Wardog, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Hey, David, do you remember, speaking of trailers that really suck you in, do you remember the He-Man trailer? Remember how badass that was? I remember getting chills, and I was showing everybody that didn't even care about He-Man. I was showing them, check out He-Man. Yeah. Yeah. How did that show go?
Terrible.
That was a really big bait and switch.
That's got to be.
Now we're looking.
One of the biggest of all time, right?
We're looking at this trailer right here. It looks really good, but this is all within the first 5 minutes, and then it's over, and then they'll probably kill off Master Chief.
There it is right there for you, Spicy.
Oh, this trailer is so good. Oh, man. Why was this show not like the trailer? Oh.
This is
one hit me hard. The He-Man trailer hit me hard.
It's trailers like this where I think, man, the marketing department was on point. Because think about it.
The marketing department should have written the story.
Like,
I have the power.
Yeah, because what you see in the trailer is I'm just going to say it. It's half the first episode.
Yeah, it's the first half of the episode.
The rest of the season is, I won't tell you what happens.
So think about that, though. That's a great point, Jordan. The marketing team has access to the entire library of assets,
and they went, like, how do we
best sell this, and they make the conscious decision to make this trailer just the first half of the first episode, because they know that that's what everybody wants to see. Like, think about what that says about the rest of the season.
Whenever a product comes out and it's absolutely terrible, but you were hyped to buy it, I always credit the marketing department, because they know.
Did a great job. It's true.
It's like, man,
it's true.
You literally sold like.
Can you think of another one as bad as
No Man's Sky? Everyone was hyped. So No Man's Sky was made by a team of 10 people or less, a small team. Sony had them on stage. Everybody was hyping this over like 5 years, and
I don't know if that was
threw them under the bus and all this stuff and. But they came back though. But yeah, that was a bad one.
I don't think No Man's Sky was the marketing department. I just think the owner just kept saying yes to everybody's questions.
yeah, sure, let's do it.
Wait, does this have multiplayer? Why not?
Yeah.
And hey, two is like I actually really like him. There's a couple actually really good documentaries on No Man's Sky. I think he's a very cool guy. He's just
a developer.
It was kind of one of those things like was in the spotlight from like 0 to 60. You know what I mean? But hey, No Man's Sky, it's a really good game now.
All right, can we talk about something that Spicy and I were talking about while Jordan was raging, trying to get on here?
Oh yeah, before the show, Jordan hates Windows. Oh, by the way, Jordan, I will say that I had tech issues too because of a Windows update. I'm dealing with it right now, actually, on my other screen.
It's pretty terrible
for work stuff. Yeah, Windows.
Hell let loose. We talked about it last week. Wanted to jump in. Wanted to try it out. We put the call out there. Did we hit 50? The last I checked, we did not hit 50. Everybody, there's a community tab. Question. If you want to play Hell Let Loose, we would love to put together a full team in this game. We discussed, could we do it? Could we put together a full team? If we get to 50 people on RSVP'd, we'll do it. We'll record it. We'll make history. Mr. McSpicy, Jordan, man, you've both played this game this week. We'll start with you, Spicy. Give it to me. Should I play this game?
Okay. Hell Let Loose is a game that's been around for like 3 years or so on the PC and console. I never heard of this game. It flew under the radar for me. One of the great things about Game Pass is it's now free. If you can call it free because you have a subscription for it, you can get it for free with Game Pass. Download it. I am so addicted to this game. I like Battlefield. This is a far more fun Battlefield. They do things in this game that I think other games are going to start taking note and everything. Some of the cool things, for example, it's a World War II game. You have a map. Let's say East versus West here. You have capture points, just like Conquest, just like in Battlefield. There's three different game modes, but it's essentially objective based. Whoever can capture the most points and hold those points or areas on the map win. They do things that are so much fun. First of all, you have your typical squads where you have six people in a squad. One of them is a lieutenant and the others are different class based. So you have a medic, you have an engineer, you have a support, which actually drops supplies. And every one of these people are very different from each other and have very unique traits that make them very, very valuable to different situations. For example, engineers can build fortifications in this map. They can also they're called nodes, but they build currency for the commander, which I'll get to in a minute. They can't build anything without the support guy dropping supplies. So supplies are very important and supplies are very, very limited. And so if you're a support guy, you can drop them. Everybody likes you. The medic, they have proximity chat in this game, which is super awesome because people like role play the crap out of this game, like Saving Private Ryan all over the place. It is one of the funnest experiences to be storming the beach. And somebody blows up and another guy's, help me, medic, help me. And another guy's running up and his friend's like, can you help him? He's my friend. Can you help him, please? It's all role playing everywhere. There's 100 people on the map. It's going all over the place. So it's kind of got like that vibe to it. On top of that, what makes this game so much fun is every squad has a lieutenant in command. And that lieutenant is able to communicate with the other lieutenants in the squad. So people can chat proximity. They can chat within their squad. But then one person, the leader of that squad, can communicate with the other lieutenants across the map. And there is a commanding officer above them all, a general, that his job is to facilitate all the he has so many abilities. He has airstrikes. He has planes for recon going over. He has supply drops. He can drop in. He can have tanks appear for your tank teams because there are tank teams. There are sniper and recon stuff pointing out the map. What is so awesome about that structure is since most of the people can't communicate with the commander or the lieutenant, you have guys running up to you like Jordan. Jordan, you want to tell the story that happened with you?
You were the lieutenant of our squad, and what we were, I think we were building stuff for currency of the game to help out the commander and all that. And a guy came up because when you're a lieutenant, you have so you can't see nameplates unless you're very close. Like within so many meters.
Proximity, identity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So a guy ran up to us because he saw Mark's plate, and over proximity chat, he goes, "Hey, are you in contact with command?" And Mark was like, "Yeah, yeah, I am." He's like, "Hey, can you tell him we have an engineer on the northern, you know, XXX? Yeah. He's waiting for supplies. We need to build this."
And that is so cool.
And Mark goes, "Yeah." And then like it goes quiet for a minute. And then Mark comes back. "I let him know they're dropping in supplies right now." It's a very cool game. The game, obviously, I think it improves. It's much more fun when a lot of people are chatting and talking. So it's one of those games where, like, if you don't like talking over comms, you're going to have to get over that a little bit, because I think that's part of the fun of talking to people, even if it's just proximity chat or just with your squad. But the way the game makes you feel is really cool. Even just like running down the street and just seeing artillery strikes in the distance that are close by. When artillery strikes, like you can almost feel the impact, and you're like, "Holy crap." If it's yours, you're happy. If it's the enemy's, you're scared. I think it's cool when games develop so well that they make you feel that. And this game makes you feel like you're in this war zone. The world has weight to it. And everybody has a purpose, whether it's the tanks, the artillery, the spotters, the snipers, the lieutenants, the commanders, or even just the attacker, you know.
So when I look at very well done, when I look at reviews from users and critics alike on this game, you either love it or it's mixed a little bit there. But is that because it depends on who you're playing with? Like, you're what makes the game so awesome is also a handicap to it if you're in with the wrong people.
I would say not necessarily. I would say, I mean, if you don't like Battlefield, if you don't like first person shooters, if you don't like World War II Sims, if you don't, you know, you obviously have to like first person shooters to enjoy this. But this adds, like Jordan's saying, it adds weight to it. What's so cool is, for example, you have tanks. When tanks show up, it's not like Battlefield where an engineer can just, you know, kill it. Or somebody else can kill it. It is a huge strategic play to have a tank come into a certain location and hold a point, because infantry, like in World War II, have a tough time dealing with tanks because of their very nature. So a whole sequence of communication starts to take place within your squad. You have the lieutenants start radioing in to command. You have a spotter targeting the map. And pointing out command, I have a tank at Delta Mark on the map. It is stationary, and then the command will go, "Copy that." We'll get, and then they start working things out, and it's not like Call of Duty where it's so fast. It's slower paced still, but still very, very action oriented, because you are having to figure out how to deal with that specific tank, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because they're key points on the map, and infantry can't deal with it. And so you have like another class that's in there is you have an anti-tank. Well, he can actually build an anti-tank gun, but he cannot build that without supplies. So you need you need that guy to have it. And if you don't have a supply in your squad, you're going to be telling your command, you're going to be telling your lieutenant, get to command. We need to get another squad in there that has a supply, has a support character. And so then you'll see on, and you can pull up the map while all this is happening, and you can see all your units start to shift, you know, and all that stuff. It's almost like it's as if Total War, everybody was a real person in Total War.
That's what this
and,
is. Yeah.
And so like in that game, you could move your troops, but it takes time for troops to move around and adapt.
Can you enjoy this as a lone wolf?
I've been playing a lot lone wolf and I really, really, really like it. The reason I say yes, the reason I struggle with Battlefield is I feel like nothing I do in that game matters. All that game is for me is a grind to get better gear. And whether I win or lose, the grind still takes place. If I get 1,000 kills, I could still lose. And I feel like nothing I have done has actually affected the gameplay of the game or the overall match. In this game, you can totally make a huge difference just by yourself. Let me give you an example. Only a few characters can create spawn points. And there are two forms of spawn points. There's an outpost, which lets your squad spawn in, or there's a garrison, which lets the whole army on your side be able to spawn in certain locations. You cannot build the spawn points without support. Which I meant, but without those, the maps are huge, and without garrisons or outposts to spawn in, everyone is spawning in at the beginning of the map, and it takes 10 minutes to get there if you don't have a Jeep or a transport vehicle or anything like that. So if you just go around and be sneaky and start setting up garrisons for people to spawn in instantly, you are affecting the game. People are spawning in and you're actually affecting the game. And that's not all of it. You can be on the artillery in the back. The artillery can basically hit anywhere on the map. It is so much fun to play as an artillery striker because it's like a real one. You have to have a calculator. You have a grid. Okay, this is at this elevation. This is here. You have to figure this out. Once you figure it all out, You shoot artillery shells. It takes 30 seconds to go in the air all the way across the map and start raining down a bombardment. And you have to do it shell by shell. By that 30 seconds, you can actually accidentally start hitting your own team if they move in. So I mean, just before this podcast, I was playing and I was shelling a specific spot on the map, and I had to call into command and I said, Command, please have Delta back up. They're going to get hit by bombardment, and it's a tank, and it stops within like 10 seconds and then starts to move back for the 30 seconds of bombardment to continue. It is such a fun experience. I cannot believe that I missed this game over 3 years. Since it's been
the
out
beauty of Game Pass, the beauty of Game Pass, right?
Well,
there.
So I agree with everything Mark says, but on the lone wolf thing, I think he's right. I think you can have a lot of fun playing by yourself, but in doing that, you're still communicating a lot with the team.
Yeah.
So I think you can play. Well, I mean, you can play by yourself and have fun, but the game is heavily based on communication. And I think that's what gives you that fun experience.
Now, do you have to voice chat, or is there predetermined?
They call them radios in the game. Okay. I don't know about the predetermined text on console because we just talk, but yeah. I'm sure on PC you can type in, and there is text message notifications that pop up that'll say like the command dropped X supplies here and stuff like that. But they call it the radio system, which is basically chat channels. So, like the position Mark was playing, he had command chat, squad chat, proximity chat, and then
party chat.
If you're in a party, like from the main menu, you have like a party chat radio. So, and you just, it's very easy to click between radios. It's just left bumper, and then you point to what radio you want, and then you can tap left bumper to turn off your radio. But the game is, it really is an experience.
AOG is a big player of this game. And if I remember correctly, AOG Wardog in chat right now, he actually runs ran an Instagram channel where he takes screenshots of these types of games and makes them feel super realistic.
Cool. Yeah.
So he's in a deep hole here, and he says this game is much better on PC in his opinion, but he comes from Squad and Squad 44, known as Postscriptum. I think that's his.
Yeah, it's basically Hell Let Loose. Squad is basically Hell Let Loose, but modern.
Yeah. So here's what he has to say. He says, I think the most fun thing about these kind of realistic shooters is the unpredictability. The fighting can be intense at times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and what's so cool about that is the adaptability of the fighting, too. It can be intense, but how everyone sort of comes together and figures things out. Mm-hmm. You still have, like, at HQ, you still have, like, D-bag sitting there team killing all the time and stuff like that. I mean, that's what happens when you have 50 players on each side.
Yeah.
Those soldiers get weeded out real quick, though.
Yeah, yeah. They get punished, and everyone can vote them out and a whole bunch of
stuff. The Happy Mayo says it's for real. It has a very realistic feel. You ever wonder what it's like to find and protect Private Ryan? Yeah. This game is it.
Well, yeah. I would say, because I would put this in a niche game category. If you're first loading this up, I can see where people get the bad impression, because I think it's similar to the first time you load up Tarkov. You have no idea what's going on. You jump on an artillery cannon and you're like, this is stupid. I can't see it. It's not like a ping system like in Battlefield where red dots appear above people's heads and you can see them way off in the distance. It's all based off communications. Mark can explain the ping system a little bit better. Like you can ping the map and you can see, it's so many meters away, but you still have to calculate, okay, it's X amount of meters away, so I have to adjust the artillery to meet, it's very.
Yeah. Well, it's communication based. So like there's a lot of markers on the map that only command can see.
I have to I'm laughing because it's Stu Gaming in chat says, wait, so I can't slide cancel 360 no scope World War II style?
No,
this not is because you're a human being.
What makes it so great is how people role play in it too. Like it's so. Jordan sent me a video this week of us running down a street. I'm in front, and I just get blown up. Like boom, my body into a million pieces. My parts of my limbs are everywhere, and blood basically went across Jordan's face, and he's like, ah.
Matt Damon hiding
in the corner. Matt Damon's just like, ah. Even
the other day we were playing and someone went down and he was yelling medic and Mark was like, can you save him? Can you save him?
You just find yourself getting caught up in it.
It's so
awesome. Really is a lot of fun. But I see complaints. For example, one of the criticisms I see is it just feels like a running simulator. And I get that, because my first round felt like a running simulator because I didn't know how spawns worked. And spawns just by themselves is a YouTube video. Once you understand it, it's easy. It's just like Tarkov. Like I understand what bullets and everything do in Tarkov. Now I understand how spawns, artillery, squads work in this game. I understand why people, it may not be for them, because it's definitely not Call of Duty. And I don't think I would even compare it. I mean, you can compare it to Battlefield, and it's a large scale war across a big map using the conquest gameplay mode, but the actual gunplay and systems of the game are 100%.
Finish this sentence, Jordan the Man. I would like this game if I'm into
games. Sorry. Jordan's supposed to finish it.
Yeah. If I'm this style of gamer.
More realistic shoot. I mean, more realistic shooters. It's not like
Tarkov. Does it fit?
If you like Tarkov, you probably have a higher chance of liking this game.
Okay. But they're not similar.
Tarkov's different as well. Yeah. You know, like it's not. I would say this game is closer to Tarkov than it is Call of Duty and Battlefield, because Battlefield and Call of Duty are much more arcadey on that side of the spectrum.
But see, this is not Tarkov at all, though. That's the thing. The only similarity between this and Tarkov is there are very specific mechanics that will keep you alive if you know them. Jordan, when we hopped in the other day, and when that guy ran up, it's like, are you in communication with command? I was literally having you go through boot camp. I was you need to learn specific things. Like, for example, the spawn system. It's not like Battlefield where there are tickets, where if you die, then a ticket goes off and then you're closer to losing. Or if you kill somebody, they're closer to winning.
Deaths don't matter in that way. They matter in a different way.
Yeah. You can redeploy, just suicide yourself and redeploy across the map within 30 seconds. Like,
And when I say closer to Tarkov, I don't mean, because Tarkov is obviously an extraction shooter. It's a hardcore extraction shooter. This, I would say, is a hardcore World War II shooter. I think they're in the category together. I would put Call of Duty and Battlefield in the same category of shooter. I would put this game and Tarkov in the same category of shooter.
Battlefield, Call of Duty, this game, and Tarkov. I would separate all of them. For me personally, Jordan, you're wrong.
I would put them.
Wrapping up, it sounds like you both highly, highly recommend this game.
Oh, it's on Game Pass.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So,
if anything, you just wasted your download.
27 gigs.
Only like 27 gigs. Yeah. So,
it is so much fun.
If you want, it's available for Game Pass on PC as well. The only downfall, which kind of sucks, is from what I understand, it's crossplay between PlayStation and Xbox, but it's not crossplay between consoles and PC. That would be awesome once they do that, because then, you know, I can jump between Xbox and PC, and you can then play with other, like, for example, AOG plays on the PC. We could get more people to play and stuff like that. So hopefully that's the next step for them. But
that's cool. Yeah, I mean, you're making. You guys text me multiple times, like, you got to play this game.
Yeah, it is. I will probably play it after the show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll probably really, play it with you. Really good, so. David, will you probably play it with us?
Hey, can I?
This weekend, I will.
Just download it.
It's already downloaded. It's already there. It's already done.
Do you have anything else? Because I, speaking of shooters, I wanted to talk about one.
Go give it to me.
What do you guys think of this? And I was actually meant to talk about it with when we were talking about Halo. But what about this at the show? What if, and we all want it to come. I'm just going to say this. You know, we were right.
The anticipation is killing me.
We were right when we said
it. The developer direct.
Yeah, the developer direct. This is what I would love to see. And everybody was against it when we first said it a couple of years ago. Battle Royale Halo. Is that still in the mix? Where is that? Is creative? I think was it creative that was working on it?
Yeah,
or supposedly, the rumors and stuff. That would be an awesome shadow drop. Halo, and you can say I'm wrong, but I'm not. Halo needs a battle royale. Everybody was mad when people were saying it, and guess what? They were all wrong. It needs it.
Yeah. Well, if you want longevity.
I guess it doesn't need it, but it would be such a great concept for it.
No, what it would do, it would bump a whole bunch of people to play that game.
Yeah.
The lobbies will be full. The hype would be back. A whole bunch of things would happen. It would not take away the team death matches. It would not take away free for alls, because you could still go play those. But what it would do, it would bring a large audience to the game, which is very important to have the longevity in the game.
When I think the game is in a good, I mean, the half of the show was me making fun of Microsoft and a lot of their IPs, including Halo. But I think Halo Infinite, the developers that are there have worked really hard, and the game is actually I think it's in a decent spot right now. They've done a lot of updates. They're giving the community what they want. Yes, you can argue it should have been there at launch, but we are where we are. And I think it's a good time to drop a good BR. It would make the game relevant, and it would bring more people to your multiplayer suite.
Yeah.
And don't give me this excuse that it'll take, you know, oh, if BR releases, then, you know, no one will play multiplayer. No, it's not true.
Remember we talked about this. It was rumored this be titled Halo Infinite Tatanka. That was the code name. Yeah. They were making on Unreal Engine 5. Now it's rumored that that's actually been canceled. However, it does look like someone has created a third-party dev team has created a battle royale in Halo Forge.
Yeah,
from Falcons. So there is that.
No, so there is that. I think even Tim the Tatman played the Halo BR in Forge. But look, don't get me wrong. Forge is a great tool, and there's a lot of great things that came out of Forge. Griffball, you know, a lot of great things that came out of Forge. But I think an official, you know,
I mean, you're not wrong. That would be huge if that was a shadow drop.
If the game has a battle pass, let's talk about Lego Fortnite real quick. I really like Lego Fortnite. I think it's a great game. It's like a Minecraft on a Fortnite map and engine with Lego people. Mm-hmm. But what I really, really like about it is you get XP for the battle pass by playing that game, which I think is what Jordan kind of saying in a way.
Maybe. Well, and that's how Fortnite is doing it correctly, because Fortnite is moving to be more and more of a platform. And when I was at GDC, that's all Fortnite had, half of the GDC center, and it was, hey, come develop with us. Bring your, and that's what they're doing. And in order to do that effectively, that's the smart move. You play all of these different, there's a racing game on there. You play it, you get XP towards your battle pass. The battle pass is universal. That's smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's the same how Warzone does it. I mean, they have one battle pass, and it carries across the entire Call of Duty suite.
Yeah.
Well, but with Fortnite, that's such a different game mode than its normal game mode.
Oh, yeah.
You know, usually when they do that, you can't gain XP you know, but the fact that you can play Lego Fortnite and you get all the stars and all the nonsense that you get with a battle, you know, or battle pass, that's, I feel like I'm not wasting my time playing a game that I want to play. Yeah. And that's the FOMO problem. On other games, I'm forced to play that. For example, Forge, Jordan, in Halo's side, if I were to play Forge, I'm not gaining XP towards anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that's so I'll play Forge for fun because I like to, but if I'm really grinding, I don't have time to play Forge. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really like about Lego Fortnite is that. So that's why having a battle royale commissioned by the developer and having that, you know, feed the battle pass, I think is a super.
Well, I mean, some people may not like the game mode because all battle royale is a game mode.
Yeah.
It's a good game mode that'll bring influx to your game. And despite what people think, the more people that play your game is generally a good thing.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, I have to ask you guys. We talked a little bit about it last week. It is the title of our show today. We set our gaming goals last week. Are we still on track? So this Friday, did you know this Friday is like the statistic? So tomorrow is the statistic where something like 80% of all New Year's resolutions are given up on.
Are you serious?
Like everybody does the first.
It's called Quit Friday. There's Good Friday and there's Quit Friday, and tomorrow
Quit Friday, is Quit Friday. That's funny. Well, I have played. It's because I have found games that I really like. Lego Fortnite and Hell Let Loose. Those two games alone, and of course Baldur's Gate 3. I have played more, and I'm still so busy, but I have played more in the last week and a half, 2 weeks than I have played in a long time. And
that's good.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I'm seriously jealous.
I mean, it's not, David, it's not that much because I am so slammed, but it is still, I said it last week. My goal was to play games.
Yeah.
By golly, I'm playing games, that's David.
Good. That's good. That's good.
It Jordan. Helps when there's stuff I want to play, and there is right now.
Jordan, the man, how about yourself?
I just want to catch up on backlog games.
Yeah, but so, have you successfully done, have you started that at all? Are you doing it?
Well, yeah. I've got a select few games downloaded, and I'm trying to go back and beat them.
Mine is to get
hard. Part is new games just keep coming out.
Yeah, mine is to get lost in more of these immersive worlds, single player experiences primarily. And I think I've so far I've done it. I'm heavy on Outposts right now in Starfield. Everybody,
yeah, heavy. All right. Hey, David, do you
know go and get the achievements?
So that's player housing, by the way. I went and freaking did the missions to get all the free penthouse in freaking New Atlantis before I even touched Outpost. And now I'm at Outpost, and it's like, oh, my, this is my,
well, yeah,
player,
David,
this
you,
is my
you,
player house.
Did
I
you
can
ever?
I can build a landing pad right here. I don't have to go anywhere. I could do all these storage units, the whole shot. Outposts are badass.
Yeah.
I know it's originally from Fallout 4.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Didn't you ever play Fallout 4?
Oh, yeah. And, here's the thing. Just like Fallout 4, you get attacked at your outpost. I got turrets set up everywhere. I wish you guys could come and try to invade my outpost. You'd get crushed.
That would be so awesome. Wouldn't that be
really fun?
Didn't Metal Gear 5, didn't they have an outpost-style setup where you could get invaded?
Yeah, it was your oil rig, kind of.
That's right, like that. The oil rig.
That would be awesome if they introduced a multiplayer. How cool would that be? That people could invade you, and so you would actually have to set it up. That would be so fun.
And maybe it's something that, like, they could remove the bat. Because, for instance, Rust. You spend all this time building this tower. It's impenetrable. You've got the top gear. And somehow, someone, while you're sleeping offline, breaks in and crushes all your stuff.
No, just make it a mode, you know?
And you're done. And you're done with the game. What I'm saying is, like, what if you could invade my outpost, and there's a benefit to doing it, and there's maybe a net with some sort of negative aspect, but the negative aspect isn't you destroying all my stuff. It's a contest that has a different currency reward outside of that. You could make it a cool experience.
So. No, I want to break your shit. That's what I want to do.
That's only if you're set on hardcore mode. Yeah. That should be the thing. No, I'm really enjoying that, but yeah. That's so far. I think I'm on track so far. I would like to play more.
It's just
prioritizing, getting past it. Yeah. I think around March I'll be able to hit it hard.
Yeah.
You guys inspire me.
Well, here's the thing, David. I shouldn't be playing. That's the difference. I should be working.
Let's review. We got a bunch of super chats. Let's go through the super chats real quick. AOG Wardog drops a super chat for $4.99. Huge thank you to AOG Wardog. Bros, thoughts on the Fallout show and Netflix Avatar: The Last Airbender? So both of the trailers for both look really good in my mind. I think we've said it before. We'll say it again. I think all three of us are terrified that exactly what we talked about with Halo. The trailer looks fantastic. Does the show deliver, though?
They don't nowadays. Unfortunately, there's been two. Reacher and Invincible.
Hey, you know what I call? You know what I call Jack Reacher?
What?
Jack David.
Jack David. I think those are Reacher and Invincible are the only two shows that respect the source material in this day and age.
Game of Thrones did.
Like, Game of Thrones started 15 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the Dragon House of Dragons. I've never read that book, but that's just a good show.
Did they come out with season 2 yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, I want shows to respect it. You can change the story.
Here's the thing, Spicy. I think we're getting there. I think there is such a huge, for the first time in my life, I am seeing a pushback so hard against ruining a source material that has never existed before. I think we're about to get.
I mean, you do have the anime issue going on right now.
Yeah, but look at the pushback on it. Like, it's being mocked everywhere.
Well, that's because you don't mess with anime.
No, but why is anime so popular?
Furries.
Because.
Yeah, that's actually 80%. The other 30% is good storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
without hesitation, David, I knew the answer.
Intense friendship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like,
No,
anime has intense,
but it's because it's so focused on story. I think we're getting that. I think we're about to see a correction in storytelling. Prime example, Golden Globes for this weekend. Who cares? Nobody watched those. I hate award shows. Everybody does. Why is it noteworthy? Every single person, every single actor that got an award just said, thank you. I love what I do, and sat down. No preaching. No lecture.
Wasn't that because like 5 years, Ricky Gervais just like told them how dumb they were?
What I'm saying is
finally get
those compilations. Everybody is like, Ricky Gervais needs to host it again. And what I'm saying is the pushback is here. It's upon us. Like, yes, actors, just entertain us. You can have your opinions and thoughts, and that's great.
Here we are now. Entertain us.
But I'm here to be entertained. You have a talent. I'm here paying you lots of money as a society to enjoy your talent. Please use it. And yeah, I think I genuinely do. I think we're getting back there, guys. I'm really excited. So we'll see how Airbender and Fallout go.
I hope but I don't think so. Fallout and Avatar are 5 years behind. Because that's how long production takes.
No, that's a good point. That's true.
So we'll see it by the time I'm dead.
Although the Avatar trailer does look like they're
Both of those. Actually, Fallout looks good too. But keep in mind, so does Halo season two.
And Avatar, I hear, has like the original creators, the two guys that made the original creators on the show, which is kind of 50-50 for me because I do think they like ruined Korra. So. But 50% of their work is great.
They
like,
did. Last Airbender. Korra, Spicy, have you watched Korra?
I started to. I couldn't get past some. I couldn't finish
Korra
it.
Korra starts out. It's never as good as Airbender.
Yeah, season one was like, okay. Yeah.
At no point does it match Airbender. Mm-hmm. But it's enough that you're like, yeah, all right, I enjoy this. And there's some point. You can see it because they're going along with the story in a certain way. And even stuff that happens in season one just doesn't match up with the last seasons. And they just make a last minute decision to change everything. And
what happened is Nickelodeon was like, hey, Airbender was so popular. Can you come back and just make like a mini series for us? And they were like, yeah, sure. So they made Legend of Korra. Cause if you notice, I mean, I guess there's kind of openings, but Korra for the most part has a beginning, middle, and end. After Korra came out, it was actually very popular again. So they're like, oh, yeah, just do two more seasons. And they just ran out of writing juices.
Because I would love for the three of us to create an anime.
The last two seasons of Korra.
That would be cool. It would be fun. Doesn't even have to be super cool. It could just be stills and voiceovers.
Not to turn into this into an anime show, but one of the reasons the last Airbender was so good was Zuko is one of the most interesting characters actually has character development and challenges and it mentions it go with some of the flashbacks of his childhood and how hard he struggled and his uncle as well. That whole storyline with Zuko makes that whole show so good. Heaven forbid having a character have tough times, be weak and gain strength as he learns and goes along. Heaven forbid we have
And taking the time arc. To develop him.
Also, the on again, off again, Zuko and Mei, do they like each other? Do they not like each other?
They eventually did.
Do they get it on?
Prison, she saved him.
What happens? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that messes with his head, too. And you can see that. That is good writing.
His uncle's such a good guy.
Well, I don't even know if the writers know this, but you can actually argue that Zuko is the main character of that show.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's an episode when you actually see that. It's when he dresses up as the mask character that he plays and he saves the Avatar. And then the Avatar's just laying there, you know, and he has a conversation with him and he saves his life. The person that he has vowed his whole life to destroy, in so much that he has been exiled and the only way that he can come back to his family and country and all that is to kill this character. And he saves his life. It's that episode there when you know you're watching something super good.
Well, and the reason why, I mean, you can't be like the reason why he saves his life, like it all hinges on his honor because he wants it. Oh yeah. It's so good. And then the episode or episodes, when you learn about both Zuko and Aang's lineage going back, but the thing is that episode was placed perfectly where it was because of the development of both those characters. I don't know if it's just a one hit wonder. That show was very well written.
It's back when writing included challenges to characters and weakness and learning strength.
Well, it is.
That doesn't exist anymore.
No, it is true. It is, especially on movies, especially. My wife and I, the last couple of weeks, we've gone through Gladiator. Gone through Braveheart. We've even gone through lesser ones like King Arthur, not the one with Jax, because I love that one, but the earlier King Arthur.
First night with
what's her face?
Yes. No. First night is the one with Sean Connery. He's Arthur.
No. We didn't go through that one. Well, we went through the one with Keira Knightley, and it's just okay. That one being just okay. Oh, we went through Year One, which is a comedy. Remember it with
Jack Black and Michael Cera? Yeah.
And that came out in 2009. I never watched it, and I remember seeing the trailers and at the time, like, man, that doesn't look that great.
It's very crude, but it's funny.
But that's because it was relative at the time to other comedies, and comedies, that was probably the end of the comedy era, like The Fumes still. But you go and watch it now, and it's like, where is this? There's been no comedies. This is hilarious. But same, Gladiator, Braveheart, there is not, and I was telling Tiffany, who's my wife, everyone, I said to her.
So I said to her, after we
I said, can you think of a movie as good as Gladiator in the last 10 years that you've seen that's come out? And the answer is maybe there's one. Dune. I would put Dune up there.
I wouldn't put Dune up there. I would put Dune cinematically. That's very, very good. I would put Top Gun. Top Gun is up there. Top Gun is more like...
Top Gun is fun. Top Gun is the fun factor.
Gladiator is serious and just Gladiator, a masterpiece. Just good.
And then I would put Braveheart under Gladiator. But even Braveheart, name a movie in the last 10 years that's it's as good as Braveheart. And the fact is that in all reality, there's a few, maybe, like there's maybes, right? Like Dune for me.
I think Gladiator is better than Braveheart.
Yeah,
100%
agree. Oh, okay.
That's what I said. I said I put Braveheart.
I really like the animated Spider-Man that came out. I think that movie was really good.
Yeah,
there's two of them that came out within the last.
Yeah,
both are Spider-Man. Really good. Yeah, both are really good.
I would say the first one's better than the second one. But
I agree.
Yeah.
But yeah,
why Gladiator's so interesting? Because I feel like the stars aligned with the actors and the writers, because every line delivered in that movie by any character is epic.
It's really good. It's really good.
Even
when men should know when they are conquered, would I?
Even just any of us? Any character, he was a soldier of Rome.
Phenomenal bad guy, phenomenal protagonist, phenomenal side characters. Right. Yeah. Tragedy, like. It is a story. It kind of reminds me of like a poor man's Count of Monte Cristo.
A poor man,
because Maximus is poor. He becomes a slave, you know, and all that stuff. But that
farmer.
Yeah, but it's just a sad movie about. In a way, it's kind of about vengeance.
Well, and you're right about the bad guy, and
he
is
so good.
I mean, I'm gonna say it. Joaquin Phoenix,
yeah,
he does some weird stuff. Like he's a weird dude, but guy can act.
The Joker,
that guy can act.
The dude has a talent.
He has a talent. Like I don't care what he does in his personal life, he's incredibly good at his job.
Yeah, when you are talented, you are talented, and he is talented.
Well, I actually had this conversation with my wife, guys.
Well, it's just like you guys remember Tom Cruise. You know, he kind of had that weird phase. You know, no one cares about that because he makes good movies.
See,
you know?
That's the thing. I asked my wife this. I was like, "So how good do you have to be? Where's that level when you're that good that people just forget about the other things?"
Joaquin Phoenix,
you know,
and Tom Cruise have hit that level.
Kevin Spacey,
It's probably up there.
Well, see,
his is a little bit different, but
Kevin Spacey. Like
he is an incredible actor.
Like you think about like Charlie Chaplin, you know, like people remember him for the good stuff, but they don't. They just ignore that other. You know, I think he married a 15-year-old girl or something. His cousin. I can't remember. Anyways, you just like. At what point are you so talented that people just go, yeah? I mean, he made Top Gun.
Talent is to like entertainment what speed is to sports. You can't teach speed. Like, you either have it or you don't. If I'm coaching a team, let's say I'm coaching a soccer team, and the dude in front of me can't dribble the ball for the life of him, but he runs a 4.140.
Yeah.
You put him on defense or even offense, and I'm just kicking him the ball.
You can call
can't that, teach you that can, as good as anyone is. I can teach him better ball handling, right? Like, I can't teach him speed. That's talent in the entertainment
world. You can almost call it the Forrest Gump paradox. You know what I mean? Like, he was for football, right? The guy just knew how to run. So no one cared what he did. They just gave him the ball.
Or Bobby Boucher.
Yeah. Yeah.
You Bobby can hit. You can't.
The Bobby Boucher that. Paradox.
Yeah.
The Bobby Boucher paradox.
Yeah. You can't teach that.
It's just no one cares when you're good at your job.
That's true.
Well, there is a point where, but if you're that good, then, you know, there's somewhere where the line is like, okay. Okay.
Yeah, there's a line, but the line gets harder to reach when the better you are.
I mean, Beat It is a phenomenal song, you know, but Michael Jackson is kind of, but you know, his music is really good. So it's like,
musical genius, other stuff, you know, how do you.
The talent is so overwhelming, it just puts everything else in the shadows.
Yeah.
Anyways, I do want to say hi to Cooper. Cooper, welcome. I haven't seen Cooper's in chat here. Welcome, Cooper. We got let's wrap up here with a couple more with the rest of the super chats. Beast dropped a $9.99 super chat. Thank you, Beast. He says, don't forget to wish Jordan a happy birthday, everyone.
Oh yes,
happy birthday, Jordan.
It's just
you guys want to see what I got for Jordan. My birthday?
Yeah, let's see it.
And then Rose City Gamer dropped a super chat with a birthday cake. Thank you. It's Stu, Beast, and Rose City Gamer for those super chats.
I got myself a Satisfy Grip for the old Nintendo Switch.
Dirty.
Yeah. Dirty. You know what's cool about this grip, by the way? The Satisfy Grip is it fits in the dock. It
satisfies you.
It satisfies me. No, it's a super, it makes the Switch feel way better handheld.
It looks
and
like
it looks still fits in the dock. I don't have to take it off.
Yeah, because when you hold just like, it's you're like holding it with your fingers, so your hands cramp versus like holding it in the palm of your hand, you know.
I love it, Jordan.
Yeah,
that's hot.
So that's what I got. So it's really nice to play like Mario Kart and stuff now.
Cool. Very
cool. Everybody, as we get out of here, we are actually moving our live recording time to every Thursday. So make sure keep the calendar open. Every Thursday is going to be our new recording time. We have not done a members only lounge because we're all off on our times. We're remote today, so we're not able to do them. We will have our first members only lounge episode next week after the show. So stay tuned for that. It'll be next Thursday after the show, but every Thursday is our new one. If you guys like the show, if you enjoy it, share us with your friends, rate us over on all the podcast apps, subscribe to us on YouTube. And I know Spicy has some big plans for a lot of more content coming behind the scenes, which I did see. Who was it? Was it AOG that dropped an idea? Basically a weekly watch party for shows or something behind the scene, or a series of watch parties. That would be cool. We could watch an anime together and say,
that would be awesome.
And say, hey, we don't show the anime because you can't, right? But you do just time it up. Hey, we're now at the 1 second part. We're now at the 10 second mark. Go. Like, and we watch it together. A watch along. Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Hey, David. David, yeah. Look at chat. I just posted the vid. Do you have the outro video? I don't know if you do.
I do not. No. No.
Oh, I can. Can you load that real quick?
Let me get the outro video because we're remote, everybody.
So we're remote. So that's one of the things we're setting up on the fly. Oh, yeah. That's why Jordan, when he plugged in a webcam right before the show, and Microsoft went, you know what? Nope. Nope.
Yeah.
It screwed them all up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I was angry.
David, I'm excited for you to join up when you can and play Hell Let Loose.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a lot of streams on it. It looks like a lot of fun.
AOG Wardog in chat says, are you moving to a later time? It feels a little bit later than normal. Yeah, this is a different time than normal.
Yeah, so. This is late because I'm alone.
Oh, is your dog still sleeping behind you?
Even my dog has left me.
At the start of the show.
The file you sent me is WebM.
Is it not? It does not like WebM? Not
WebMD?
You can drop WebM into Chrome.
Oh.
And then use that as the.
Yeah, that'll work. Hold on. Uno momento, por favor. Do.
Because WebM is actually a. I believe it's a Google format. If I remember my.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
If I remember my codec wrapper theory, I don't know what you call it. Is it working? It is. My screen.
So I think, does the audio still play? Let's see. Can you hear this? We're going to test this.
I can hear it.
Oh.
I can hear it. It so cuts off when I talk. But if you mute us all, then we'll be good.
All right. Is this a video, though, or is this just the sound?
Oh, it's a video, remember?
Yeah, it's a video. There's the countdown. Everybody, hey. Hey, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thanks, Spicy. Crushed it. Guys, have a great week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Away, and so far to find out that way. I'm looking away from the silence of your pride again. I just wanted to be happy. I didn't want to be so strong. I don't understand why there is so alone. So hard to find the good days. I'm walking away from the heart of this world. I'm too afraid to fall in love and feel the heartache. To fall in love and do you wrong. I won't survive with a broken heart alone. No. I'm looking away, my loneliness, loneliness.